Hi, everybody. So if you've come to, previously come to see me doing stand-up tryouts here for stand-up material, then this is going to be a lot less funny. it's going to be a profound disappointment. But so what the idea behind this was really, partly to just, you know, connect with an audience, but also, yeah, to see if it works in a kind of live context, and also to, because we put each of them out, forced me to, obviously, when I am live, I say the same things every night. And so this is going to force me to say different things every night, because we're going to put them out as podcasts. And so you will find that you will see the true paucity of my thought. And you'll feel that you're being taken advantage of, at least not paying £100 like when I went to see fucking Dave Chappelle. And he's just going through his fucking notebook after several terrible support acts. this is also making me think I should have at least vaguely prepared. It is different, obviously, when we do. I assume most of you have listened to the podcast. And we,
who has listened to the podcast? Okay. Just over half, I think.
Well, the thing you did this surprise you. One of the things we can talk about this to some extent. One of the things we did as a kind of works out in this, we went to see a comedian, didn't we, a couple of Saturdays ago. One of the things that surprised what I have, I don't think I've always done this, but what I always do is that I very enthusiastically join in the kind of, you know, when say, you know, anybody seen me before? I go, yeah. You know, I haven't. And any
it was a lot.
Any question that I am asked by the comedian on the stage, I respond enthusiastically.
I think one of them was, who here likes maths?
Well, no, it was more than that.
And then Alexa was like, yeah, no, me!
No, it was better than that, if I may say so, to Lau, which highlights the difference between us. That he said, I can't remember the phrase now, but it's who's aware of, like, differential number theory.
Oh,
that's what he said. And I went, me? Yeah. I don't fucking know differential number theory. Plus, fucking hell, it was shit. Anyway, we're not, we may have to, I don't know where they're going to, we thought we.
The warm ups were definitely shit.
Ah, the warm ups were shit.
And
so
one
good.
Of them, bless her, she was saying.
She'd been on the door collecting the tickets as well.
And right, she said.
I don't know if they said if you could go on stage if you collect the tickets, you know. I don't know.
But at one point she was saying, all straight white men, they think they can be comedians. And I'm sat there, I invited my friend and Alexi. And Alexi sat between us. So she goes, all straight white men think they can be comedians. And I just hear in my ear there, well, I'm the greatest comedian of all time who's ever lived. And that was the best gag of the whole fucking night. My friend started vibrating and crying.
I couldn't make a I couldn't figure out a way to communicate that to her, really. Yeah. I mean, you know, like,
unfortunately, she didn't know you were in the audience. Yeah. Like, poor.
Well, it was grim old shit, I have to say, wasn't it? So we're not, I mean, I mean, there was a lot of talk. They both had sort of, I think, kind of mixed racial background. There was a lot. I couldn't actually see what they were. It wasn't comedy, you know, and it was just sort of.
I can't believe I took you out to this.
Can
you imagine my heartache? I bring Alexi first work outing.
Yeah.
Let's go see some comedy, Alexi.
Yeah.
And it was just. Oh, man. And then at one point, Alexi goes in my ear. I don't know how much more I can take of this. shall we leave?
But the other weird thing, also it was in, I mean, the things we can criticise, it was in the People's Palace. For some reason, they left the house lights on, and that completely destroyed the atmosphere. Really but weird. Also bizarre, talk about destroying the magic. We saw the headline act. We were walking from the tube station, about a 10-minute walk, and we saw the headline act just as we left the sort of by the tube station. We saw the headline act.
Heading
on
into
the
Sainsbury's.
Going to Sainsbury's for some reason. It's like, I don't know what he was doing.
He just finished his 5 o'clock show.
Yeah.
And he seemed like broken.
He did, really.
And we didn't know that at the time that's what happened, but that must have been what happened. He was hi, yeah, thanks for coming to the show.
Yeah.
And they gave me the softest handshake I've ever felt. And
the 8 o'clock was worst. He's politically he's very sound, so we can't criticize him too much.
He must have been having a bad day.
I blame the house lights, it was very odd. Anyway, that was our first work. I was just thinking before we were we went to Lauk, we had a kind of missed sort of, you were going to shake my hand pre-show, handshake.
Yeah.
I thought we were going in for a hug, so we had a very... But I thought this is... Then I shouted at you that you're drunk. And it occurred to me that this is the first time that I've actually been in a kind of double act, really, me and you, Lexi and Talal. And this is the kind of dynamic, isn't it? There's a very funny Neil Simon film called... I can't remember. I've suddenly forgotten what it's called, but it's where... It's Walter Matthau and Jack Lemmon as an old Sunshine Boys. Thank you.
I was about to Google it.
Sunshine Boys, and and it's about a bickering double act. It's a very good film about. It's one of the few films I think that gets the dynamic of comedians right, really. But it contains some professional help because Walter Matthau says that. Words with a K in them are funny. Okay. And words with, like chicken, for instance, is a funny word. But no number is funnier than another number. That's just an insight. That's just a comedic insight that's contained within the Sunshine Boys.
Where do you stand on that?
Do you agree? What's
the funniest number?
Well, to see no number is... But I think if you're exaggerating something, then... Obviously, you go for a high number, but it's like, I think if you say 164, it's funnier than 107. No, maybe it isn't. I don't know. Words with a K. I don't know. Al Qaeda. I mean, is that funny? I don't know. Are they funny? Are those guys funny? Are they funny guys? I don't know. That's another thing. When I went to see Dave Chappelle, he had the terrible support act, and they were struck. They were trying to do their act like as if they were still in America. So one of them had just transposed, doing all his Mexican material, but about Pakistanis. So is it like, what is it with you Pakistanis driving around in your cars,
eating tacos,
and hitting donkeys on a string? Well. No, you know, he just said that's kind of your Mexicans are like the Pakistanis. I just heard a joke. A man on the street I bumped into told me a joke, which sort of made me, it gave me a quiver of like that it's racist, but in fact it's a non-racist joke. But I will tell it to you and see how you feel about it. So he said. He said, it's terrible, isn't it? London now, with all these Pakistanis, it's changed. It's not like Bangladesh anymore. And you sort of feel it's racist, but it isn't. In fact, it's not.
I've got one of those. I've never said it on stage before, I might edit this out. I probably will. When do Israelis never tell the truth? July.
Yeah, no, that is racist. Yeah,
it is racist.
Fuck, you're gonna need a new partner, I think, really.
Oh please, Dad! Don't fire me, Dad.
Yeah, it's not working out well, is it? This going out for this public facing Shit. So are you going to contribute at all?
Yeah.
Apart from saying racist things. And being me, somebody to talk to. I could have got Wilf.
Mao. Chairman Mao. I was in Soho today working and my friend said, there's this offer on Time Out website. there's a new pizza place in Soho and they're giving out 99p pizzas. You just have to go online and buy them online. So I bought four with a plan that I was going to give some to homeless people. Like I was give the extra ones out to some homeless people. I know. And but I found myself in a really weird position. All right. And I going around deciding which homeless person looks hungriest. And it's a fucking weird position to be in. Like, who deserves? I've got three pizzas to give away. Who deserves it? You know, and I found myself, it felt icky to be in that position.
Yeah.
And I was like standing there and there were three, I think, unhoused individuals sat along a wall, like quite far apart. And I was stood on the other side of the pavement looking at them, judging them who deserves this last pizza. And it felt weird. There you go. Do something with that. It felt fucking weird. And there was one I'd woken up to ask if he wants a pizza. And he said, no, I'm sick. I can't eat anything. I was like, I'm sorry, I woke you up. He goes, yeah, I just need to rest. I was like, oh, fuck. So I'm walking off with these pizzas. And then there's these two drunk homeless guys, and they were like, is that for me? And I said, yeah. And so that gave them a shock.
Yeah.
And then when I was with that last one, I was stood looking at three, and I had to choose one. What would you do in that situation?
What would Jesus do? I mean, it's, I don't know. You've got to put me on the spot there now.
You have to choose. One will live, two will die.
You could give them a third of the pizza each, couldn't you just tear it up?
Fuck. Shit. Yeah, that's the socialist thing to do, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah, what did you do in the end?
I just gave it to the one in the middle. I couldn't figure out the logistics and split it in. Oh, that's clever. Okay, next time.
I try not to. I mean, what I used to. I don't really like giving money to beggars, really. But I used to do a lot of work. I used to work with several homeless.
I know you do.
Charities.
You're an inspiration.
I don't think I've ever done this, but years ago I did the Christmas raffle at the when Cardboard City was at by the National Theatre there. There was a big homeless encampment there, and I did their Christmas raffle, which was luckily I got there a bit late because there was like turkey up the walls, and then a bloke came up to me and he asked me to sign his baked potato. He said, "Will you autograph me baked potato?" So Junior, I said, "What is a potato?" He said, "Well, you're too fucking stuck up, are you?" I said, "All right, to Aiden, I signed his. It didn't, I don't know.
If it was raw, it would make. But he was.
It was like an open baked potato, and
that's now sitting on a shelf somewhere.
Yeah, I doubt it. It is a definite different dynamic, isn't it? You do feel more inclined to be entertaining. With all these people.
How are we doing so far? All right. There we go. Okay.
This is actually podcast number 80 as well.
Yes.
Isn't it?
Oh,
yes.
Podcast episode 80.
Also, you came around. You came around to my house the other day because I've got a couple of bicycles that are surplus to requirements.
Mm-hmm.
And you were going to sell them on Facebook Marketplace or whatever.
Yeah, or eBay or something.
Yeah. But I was thinking, actually, if anybody was a fan of the bike rides that we did, that certainly the Beast, that we were gifted a couple of e-bikes.
The Himaway.
And
Cruiser.
If anybody watched those, and we could, if anybody wanted to buy them, we're putting the Himaway on sale for like £600.
Yeah. So are we just shilling your shit now? Yeah. We're selling your shit. So this has become.
Dave Chappelle.
I've got another story for you if you want.
Dave Chappelle was charging £400 for a fucking hoodie. So yeah. Souvenir bicycle first. No, I'll give the money to MAP or something like that.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to buy, particularly the Beast, and obviously anybody listening to this podcast as well, if they're interested in buying round about that price or whatever, then
come have a chat after the show.
We'll give the money to
MAP.
medical aid for.
Or if you're listening at home, send me a message. Yeah, we can make that happen.
Yeah.
It's a race between you guys and Zark Fuckerberg's Facebook marketplace.
And the other bike is an all-out racing bike. Probably nobody will want that. But
pretty nifty.
Yeah, it's a Condor, Columbus alloy frame, Shimano super record or whatever throughout.
Yeah, I've got an old Toshiba 17-inch monitor. If anyone wants to buy that,
if we give the money to Matt,
yeah,
then that'll be fine.
I'll tell you what, if any of our listeners buy it, the money will go to Matt. If anyone on eBay or Facebook buys it, we get the money. Just put the pressure on.
Well, yeah. I was going to give you a portion of the
the
winnings, wasn't I? So yeah, you can keep. Anyway, so I'm trying to think of the other ill thought out things I've got to tell you. I am actually Talal, because I haven't told you this either. Mm-hmm. That I am actually. On Saturday, you know that this is a kung fu podcast. Yes. We're both martial artists. On Saturday, I am actually competing at the Claremont Centre in White Lion Street in Islington. I will be competing in martial arts.
Are you kidding?
No.
Well, like against someone.
Yeah. Well, I did. For years, I thought that the club competes in like the British China, BCCMA, the British Chinese Martial Arts Association. I thought then there's often like if there's a veterans category and there's only two or three people in it, then it would be all right. I could enter that and get battered to fuck. But I would still, I'd still be a bronze medal winner, wouldn't I?
Second or third, yeah.
So I'd be bronze medal or silver medal holder.
Wow.
In White Crane Kung Fu, BCCMA.
Are you a veteran? How long have you been doing Kung Fu?
Well, on and off, I've been doing it for many years. But when I say I'm competing, what I'm doing is a thing called push hands. Do you know about push hands?
Yeah, you and Lisa were doing it at Glastonbury, weren't you?
Yes, that's right, yeah.
Where you push each other's hands.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's the only way that you can, with Tai Chi, it's the only way that you can compete sort of thing. I thought about doing it, but we probably can't do it here because it won't make very good
audio. And how do you win?
You push the other person over, really, or if they just move their feet in any way, then you win.
Whoa.
So I'm hoping to be... fighting a small child. is that really my only chance of winning. But if anybody lives in Islington and wants to come along and support Claremont Centre, you can see me throwing a small child around.
Is anyone allowed to come?
If you pay. Yeah. It's, I think it's £5 or £10 or something.
That's amazing.
So yeah.
What time?
2 o'clock. There'll be other stuff. There'll be demonstrations of Tai Chi and Kung Fu as well. But
will you be doing any of that? Have you been practicing your routines?
No. I mean, I have, but I've refused to. That'd be too humiliating. No. But that is, I will tell this story. You asked me about. I have done it before, but you people have suffered enough. You asked me about the first time that I got involved in martial arts was when I was 35. Okay. And I start when the Brunswick Centre, which is near where I live, which was very run down at that time. People used to make dystopian sci-fi movies and it was so threatening. But there was a gym in there called Revels. And I this was the first time I started going to this gym anyway in the basement in the Brunswick Centre. And I got chatting to one of the... one of the instructors one day, and I said, "Oh, maybe I'm interested in martial arts." And he said, "Well, I actually teach a form of Shotokan karate called Spirit Combat, and I can teach you. So we'll have private lessons. You can pay me, and we can use the room."
Spirit Combat.
So I said, "Great, okay." And so we spent a long time on choosing my outfit, the kind of grey outfit and stuff like that. And so we trained for like for an hour, with the sessions. And he told me that I was the best student he'd ever had. And that every week I would sort of kneel in at his feet in a vaguely homoerotic kind of ceremony. And he would give me a different belt, a new belt every week. Because I was progressing so fast and I was so incredible. Anyway, anyway, there was this, there was an early kind of consumer rights program on Radio 4 was called the Cook Report, which was this morbidly obese man called Roger Cook who used to expose scams. And I was listening to Radio 4 one day and it said, coming up on the Cook Report at 12 o'clock, we report on a man in Birkenhead selling certificates for a form of karate called Spirit Combat for £35. And oh, that's because that's the other thing that I should have mentioned is that the knowing karate and being so good, it gave me a tremendous sense of confidence. And so I'd been going into pubs, like really rough pubs, and kind of and I'm like, yeah. You want to make something of it? No, it's fine. So I'm like acting all. It gives me tremendous sense of self-confidence. Anyway, yeah, so coming up at 12:50, the Cook Report, a man selling certificates for this fake karate, and also all the Cold Spirit Combat. He said this is... he sells these certificates for £35 for this form of fake karate called Spirit Combat, and foolish people are being taken in by the instructors. And so all these incredible death moves that he taught me were just me really just flapping my hands around. And I couldn't kill it, you know. I mean, it's just like, so if somebody come at me in the pub, I'd be just like...
What made you buy into that? Why are you so gullible? He was very...
he told me he'd worked with Jean-Claude Van Damme as well.
Fucking hell.
I think I wanted to, and he said, I think he might have said he'd been in the Foreign Legion as well. I don't know, I was very gullible, I think. He wasn't, when I went back to the gym, he wasn't there, he'd left. But
it takes a certain type of psychopath to like con people like that.
Well, yeah,
we play it so cool. Have you ever been swindled any other ways?
I don't, Linda, have I been swindled any other ways?
You must have been.
I do.
You must have been, says Linda.
Oh, did you sort of when we used to have all the currencies and the euro? You did used to just get all your money out and go, I don't understand.
It was that when I tried to impress Metin. Do you remember that I bought 12 mangoes for £100? I was trying to impress this friend of mine about how fluent I was in Spanish.
But I always thought that was stupid, trying to impress your Turkish male chum with your fruit bargaining powers. Very, very odd.
Yeah. Fruit bargaining powers. Yeah. Oh my god! So you are an easy target.
Yeah, I do. If you listen to, I don't think it's on yet, but I think if you listen to Unspeakable, I do tell that story. There's a Radio 4 quiz show called Unspeakable. You have to make up a word that doesn't exist, and so my word, which I made up, which was connected with the Spirit Combat incident, was confusional, which is that sense of tremendous power that you get. I mean, in a way, I suppose. I've been doing this particular form of martial arts for nearly 10 years, but I do have a tremendous sense of confidence, but it's perhaps no more valid than, you know, with the Spirit Combat, the knowledge that I have. If I see a big bloke, I'm always thinking about how I can take him down.
Yeah, but...
I see a big bloke in a pub, I'm like...
You know, I've never said this to you, but you do... You do Tai Chi, which isn't like the scariest martial art, is it?
Yeah, I tend to blur the borders between, because it's a kung fu club, I don't... because Tai Chi actually means grand ultimate, and Tai Chi Chuan means grand ultimate fist, so it is the form of Tai Chi that we do is a martial form, and so every blow is a killer blow.
I've heard that. Yeah, if you do Tai Chi sped up,
yeah,
it's like
that's
fully
lethal. Yeah,
and that's the point, isn't it? You know the move so well. If you just do it fast, you could like chop someone's head off with your hand.
Yeah, and it was the other. I mean, I was walking on the heath with my friend Oscar Zarate, and he was going on at me about. Show me what you do. And so, all right. So I said, just throw a punch at me slowly. And without thinking, I had him in a grip, down, bent over.
Isn't he like 85 years old?
He's 82. Okay. And he walks with a stick. Yes.
And he's got heart problems.
Well done, Alexia. Yeah, well done.
But I fucked him up.
Yes, you did.
I fucking had him. Oh. So that made me feel really good.
The deadly kung fu podcast.
Yeah,
fucking hilarious. Speaking of old people, you know what I've been thinking about recently?
Yes.
You know how Israel is like 78 years old? And America, Britain, Germany, they all go along with this lie that they belong there. This is their land. Arabs are all scary terrorists and land without a people. People for people without a land. That all that shit, yeah?
Yeah. Why do you have to keep coming back? You were having a nice time and now you're...
Well...
You're ruining it.
There's a vague connection. Isn't that... Do you think that's just like...
Are you going to bring that round
we
to
all,
Kung Fu?
How we treat like a 70, like your 78-year-old granddad, you'd be like, yes, granddad, yes. The guy next door, the brown people next door really are looking at you funny.
I think you need to work on that bit a bit more. I see where you're going with it.
Mm-hmm.
But it might work. You need to work it up.
So you see where it's going.
I see where it's going,
how you would just entertain the kind of imaginations of an elderly...
Yeah, it might work. I mean, you have to work it as a bit of stand-up. It might work, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, but on the other hand, it might make everybody feel really uncomfortable, as it is doing now. So, I knew your dad, didn't I? That's how we met. I knew his dad.
I'm looking at questions from our patrons, and Layla asks, I'm sure you've explained it before, but would be nice to hear for new followers how this beautiful relationship started. Us two. You knew my dad.
I knew his dad. Yeah, well, yeah. When I first came down to London, I lived in a flat initially in Queensgate, South Kensington, with a Palestinian friend of mine called Wasim Abdullah. And... he was, I think your dad was, had been in
a young journalist,
but yeah. He was Syrian. He'd been arrested by then, hadn't he? He'd been in prison by, or was he?
Oh my God. When he was like 17, he broke into his school and wrote political slogans with shoe polish on the walls, and then they arrested him and tortured him and stuff. And then he started a handball team with all the prisoners, and they played against the prison guards.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It was like my dad, a young 17-year-old dad, and like some murderers and rapists and stuff. And
did we talk about that before?
We talked about it a few times, yeah. So
that led me to the weirdest film ever made, which is Escape to Victory.
Oh, yes.
With Sylvester Stallone and Pelé in it. Yes. Which is about a football match in a prison.
Yeah, a soccer match.
A soccer match, yes. And Sylvester, and
they use it to cover their escape.
Escape, yes. It's directed by John Huston,
who did this film.
The African Queen. So anyway, your dad was friendly, I think, must have been friendly with Wasim, and that's how I got to know him, yeah. And then I used to see you and your family over the years.
Come round. You taught my brother how to moonwalk, apparently.
That's right, yeah.
Taught my older brother how to moonwalk very badly.
Yeah. Oh, fuck off. At least it was...
In a funny, avuncular way, yes.
Yeah.
I was too young for this, but you apparently used to show my brother and sister... like all the young ones, all the young ones, like memorabilia that they had, things from the set, like a jacket or a coffin or something.
Oh, it was probably, it was when I'm delivered as the driving instructor from, I'm sure you all remember, but it's in the episode called Nasty, about video nasties. Yeah. And they go, have we got a video recorder? And I am, the parcel is delivered, which is me.
Yeah.
And I'm a driving instructor from South Africa.
Yeah.
But I'm really Harry the Bastard Harry from Lumber. Yeah. Anyway, that parcel which comes, I asked if I could have that. I asked the props department if I could have it. And so that parcel, which is me, like a figure in paper, with the top out on.
Yeah.
I took that home. And then it used to be in our spare room. So people would stay and come late, and then they'd wake up in the middle of the night and there'd be this figure standing there. That's probably what I showed them.
That's cool, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I knew you growing up, and then when my dad died, I pitched the podcast to you at his funeral.
Yeah.
And he felt too guilty to say no.
It's thank you for doing that. I mean, in a way, it is, and it's something, because it's like, obviously, when I do like Sandwich Bar or when I'm doing tryouts for material, hey, if you come and see me, it's much more, it's much tighter. It's much more performative, as it were.
It's not this. Yeah.
And it's not this, no. And it's much better value, frankly. And but it is, I mean, I think that there is a kind of, that you have brought me that, and this kind of community of the podcast as well, I think. I do genuinely find, really, moving in a way that it's a nice kind of connection. And we're not, we keep, I mean, we, it chugs. It chugs along, doesn't it? It's not one of the,
definitely chugs along. It's like got enough of a followership to keep us going and keep us motivated, but not enough to keep my rent paid.
No.
But just about.
Well, I don't know what to do about that.
No, that's fine. Like we don't put any money into it. We don't do any marketing. You know, it's amazing. Obviously, we have Alexi's esteem and his years of experience and wowing audiences around the world, but also it's just persistence. And only recently you're like, let's do it every week, fuck it.
Yeah.
I think you were also like, I should prepare less stuff for the podcast. Let's just see what happens. And I think you're getting your head around what a podcast, because that's what 99% of podcasts out there are, is two straight men talking bollocks.
Yeah.
And so why not us? And I'd been podcasting for years before we did this, to no one, for nothing. And it's been a dream of mine to like have it as an actual like kind of paying gig. And I'm to get to do it with you, I'm obviously really over the moon to get to do this.
Yeah.
Got such like loyal, consistent followers and fans, and people would come out and see us live. It does mean the freaking world, Alexi. Look,
thank you.
Shag, marry, or kill. Keir Starmer, Donald Trump, and Benjamin Netanyahu.
What?
That's from Ian. Shag, marry, kill. You have to pick one of these people for each of those options.
So, well, I've seen, because I said I once, the only time I met Keir Starmer, I played against him in a charity football match. And so I've seen him naked. And so I don't know whether the bro code
so that's a not shag then,
probably not. Well, he couldn't, although it's, I don't know
maybe that's the one you do want to shag.
We're sailing into complicated territory here, aren't we? I go back to the Israeli stuff. I thought that was less that made me feel less uncomfortable. I mean, kill all the cunts, really, would be my... why can't you? Right, you know.
Take that.
Yeah.
All right, good one.
You felt things were flagging, so you've gone to the questions.
No, I just thought it'd be a funny transition to ask you that straight away. Do another one though.
This is better than most. This is better than Richard Herring fucking popping. Isn't it? Really? I mean, there's less people, obviously. I mean, yeah, but it's better, really.
Is it?
I mean, he always asks embarrassing questions. But
he does.
Yeah.
Would you like a hand of ham? Should we try some Richard Herring questions? Nah, view of your armpit dispenses stuff. Look, coming... no, that's a stupid question. You've kind of... I know he's kind of left the acting world behind. No, he hasn't. He just doesn't get work.
I turned down a Father Brown last week.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why?
I didn't fancy it, really. Yeah. It's getting up early, I think. What bothers me.
Is there a director out there who would persuade you to work on a big movie? Who would you would love to work with? Who's a dream director?
Director. That's an interesting question. Linda. I don't know why you know that.
Well, suggestions
really.
Here are Villeneuve, who did the Dune movies.
Oh yeah, okay,
or
yeah.
Paul
yeah.
Thomas Anderson, who did like Magnolia, the Phantom Thread.
Yeah.
Either of those tantalize you?
Yeah, maybe I could be in Dune 3.
You would be fucking sick in Dune 3.
Snaveron of Thnarth or something. I don't know. I mean, I could be, I could do me stuff, couldn't I?
Yeah.
I could impress the director.
Yeah. Would you play one of the fake Arabs in that as well?
Yeah.
I was wondering this.
Oh, if I got to meet Zendaya. Oh God. Yeah. Oh, wouldn't that be? And Timothy Chalamet as well.
Chalamet.
I think we could be good friends, me and Timothy Chalamet. Yes. I'd get rid of you and I'd have him instead.
It's never going to happen now.
No.
Is that your new... It used to be Matt Damon you wanted to be best friends with.
Yes. He used to be best friends with Matt Damon, but now, yeah.
And I was
Timothy Chalamet.
On the bus earlier, I passed a billboard for a film with Steve Coogan called The Penguin Lessons.
Yeah.
And he has a penguin, little penguin friend. And a few years ago, if you remember, there was like Mr. Pimple Poppers or whatever with Jim Carrey had some penguin friends. What was that called? Mr. Poppers Penguins.
Yeah.
Would you do a penguin movie if they paid you enough?
If
would
I
you
got
be embarrass yourself that much and do a stupid penguin film?
If my name was above the penguins.
Yeah.
If I got first billing, I think. I did think actually one of the things I've always resisted the idea of doing like themed stand-up shows. But I do occasionally toy with the idea of doing a kind of show about all the terrible movies that I've been in. And I could probably show clips of me being bad in these bad movies. For instance, I mean, I think I've talked a bit about like The Bride, for instance, which is a feminist retelling of The Bride of Frankenstein starring Sting and Jennifer Beals out of Flashdance.
Yeah.
And I play an evil circus owner in that. So, I could do that. A film called Siesta, which is often considered the worst film ever made. And it was actually had an amazing cast. It was like Martin Sheen, Grace Jones, Isabella Rossellini, Ellen Barkin, Gabrielle Byrne, Julian Sands. And as they had their names taken off the poster, my name went up until... Until finally it was an Alexis Sale film. Un film de. And it is my first line in the film. Got a tremendous laugh. But it's not a comedy. when I went to a critic screen, I say, you got... I, and I say, I can remember the line. I say, because I'm a Spanish taxi driver, who is also the angel of death, and that's the kind of film it was. And and I say te puedo llevar al centro, pero se cobra más los domingos. I can take you to the center, but it costs more on Sundays. And then I turn, I say, you got money, and everybody laughed.
Did you have to learn that line phonetically, that Spanish line?
I couldn't not speak Spanish. I could not speak Spanish worse then than I can not speak Spanish now. So yeah, I did. Yeah, I learned it kind of more or less phonetically. There was one bit, I've never talked about this, but there was one bit which is just about US imperialism. Really, we filmed it in Madrid, or kind of weird. And one of the producers was a guy called Gary Cady, who was the manager of Talking Heads. Mm. And so we were filming in Madrid airport, and Gary Cady was standing there, just turned up with this big cowboy hat on with like rhinestones and like feathers in it and stuff. And he said, "He says, you know, it's really weird, you know, because everybody wears these in Mexico. I thought everybody'd be wearing them here. I thought, you're in fucking Madrid, right? One of the most sophisticated. You think people are going to be wearing fucking cowboy hats? And this was a guy who was the manager of Talking Heads, like a really sophisticated, but he thought that everybody in fucking...
That's so ignorant.
Again, would be wearing fucking cowboy hats in Madrid airport. And it was just, it was surprising, really.
It's that American arrogance, yeah, isn't it?
But he wasn't like a, you know, he wasn't like a redneck or anything. He was somebody who managed Talking Heads, and yet he thought that people would be again, what was he talking about? Mexicans before, I mean, would be in Madrid airport hitting donkeys on sticks, you know. Senor, by me, you know. But it was, yeah, so I don't know. I sense some of the material that this. I don't know how well this is going with my bit about being in terrible films, but yeah,
that's great.
It's all right. You think it's okay?
Yeah, you're doing really well.
Okay, thank you. Or maybe I'll do that show then. I don't know.
That would be a fun show, yeah. And maybe we
especially with the clips, yeah,
as like a tour,
Just
what would you call it? The shit I've been in.
Yeah. Yeah, getting my career over with.
Alexi Sellout? No, sorry.
No.
Apologies. He was never really selling out. It was just bad choices. So.
How are we doing for time? It's all right. It's not great, but it's all right.
We've got time to field some questions, I think. Don't look at my watch. Let's do some questions. Who has a question for Alexi? Anyone? We've got key rings to give out to anyone. Yes, you had your hand up. Hello.
It's not a really funny question, but I just wondered, the world that is now, does it make it easier or harder to do physical comedy?
With the world as it is now, repeat the question for the recording.
No, go on.
With the world as it is now, Alexi, is it easier or harder to do political comedy? Thank you for your question.
I think that it is. I think that it is it's difficult. It's been more challenging. I mean, I certainly doing the last series of Sandwich Bar, that I really had to think a lot about how much I was going to do about, you know, how much genocide comedy I was going to do. And I think you have to think harder about stuff, really, and it is more difficult. I mean, that's probably the last kind of stand-up thing that I did, which was, well, we recorded most of it last year, but I mean a little bit of it this year, and I mean it's also, you feel it's complex, really, because if you're doing political comedy, you are also in a sense about the terrible world, you're also profiting from it, you know, which is a weird kind of contradiction, really. And so I think it offers an opportunity in a way to do really dark comedy, which I think the Sandwich Bar kind of went more into that territory this year. And so it is, you know, it's you know, I mean, I wish the world was not as it is right now, but I guess it presents an opportunity, really. And I suppose, I suppose in a sense, Trump is difficult to pin down. But I've never really done that kind of. I've never gone for the obvious targets, really. So, it's a challenge. I think it's definitely a challenge to do political comedy, but it's it can be done. I think, but again, you can't do the easy stuff. You have to try and get at the kind of
Well, apart from yourself, who did it really excellently with Sandwich Bar, the latest series, who else out there do you think is doing it well?
Not that bloke we went to see the other Saturday. I don't really know. I don't know. Do you know anybody's doing it well?
Yeah, that bloke to see the other Saturday.
I don't know. Stuart, yeah. I mean, Stuart's been... Stuart, by and large, although I don't really know if he's spoken out about the genocide, really. So
it's so fucking hard. Like, you know, you saw how my old man Israel bit went down earlier.
Shit.
It's really hard to tackle that. But I did like what recently Bill Burr's been saying about.
Yeah, he's really good, actually. I mean, Bill Burr, I think, is amazing. If you see him on clips on YouTube, that his delivery and his persona. I mean, he's somebody who seems to have come into their own quite recently. I've noticed him as an actor before that. I remember he was in Breaking Bad as a sort of con man and stuff, kind of.
He did some Star Wars stuff.
Yeah. Our
friend Sami Abuwerde is really phenomenal, and he is Palestinian. And he speaks from his heart. And, like, he's got a lot of cool shows coming up. His new hour is called Peace the Resistance. It's going to be really
Funny. Well, yeah, he certainly was fun when we had him on the podcast. Yeah. So at least he's funny to talk to. I guess Bill Burr in the States, really. I don't know if anybody knows of anybody else, really.
There's always powerful bastards to ridicule in comedy. There's always going to be that, but things are just as bad as we've ever seen them in our lifetimes right now, and it's fucking hard, isn't it?
It's a terrible time to be alive. Never mind doing comedy, just existing is fucking awful, really.
Power and strength to all of you. Any other questions? Anyone out there? Hello, hand in the middle. Is the baked potato the strangest thing you've ever signed?
Probably, yeah. I wish I had an anecdote about something else that I'd signed.
You ever signed a boob?
No, it's not my demographic, is it? Boob signing? No, not really.
Have you ever signed someone's skin and then they've gone and done a tattoo of it?
I don't know. Again, it's not. I don't think so. I think.
Well, tonight, guys, if anyone...
Rick Mayall's autograph that we were faking for some reason? I can't remember why it was now. Do you remember, Linda?
Not really. Really, we can stop all his broken-hearted fans not getting...
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I remember for some reason Forge. Oh, I tell you what, not my, not exactly signing. Well, not my autograph, but there's I was played the lead in a thing called Selling Hitler, which was made, I think, by ATV in the late 80s. It was about the Hitler Diaries, and it was about this forger called Connie Kuyau who forged the Hitler Diaries, and then it was serialized in the Sunday Times before it turned out that they were fake. It was a huge story in the sort of 1980s. Yeah, it's a Robert Harris book. It's got my picture on the cover. If you get one from a charity shop, so it's called Selling Hitler, and I played the forger Connie Kuyau, who was also still alive certainly when we made it, and was a kind of Nazi really. when they told him he was being played by a communist Jew. He was like, what? But in the show, I have to do, and this is, I don't know, I had to actually on camera forge Hitler's signature. And so I learned to do Hitler's signature. And so when I was in Bavaria, I would do Hitler's signature, and that would get me off a lot of, you know, Wiener Schnitzel. That would I could accurately reproduce, which was a kind of it was a bit like that, like Trump. It was quite like Trump's signature. So yeah, I could reproduce Hitler's. I've lost the ability now, but yeah, for on camera and in various bars in Munich, I have signed, you know, menus and stuff as Adolf Hitler.
That's so wild. That's wild.
Yeah, shit you learn when you're doing movies. Yeah. So yeah.
Right, I'm gonna come see me later for your key ring. All right. Anyone else? Yes, Johnny.
Did you keep any other props from the young ones or stuff or anything else?
Yeah, I think I kept for years the giant pencil heads from nobody remember this from the first series of stuff, I've given a lot to the comedy archive in Kent University.
That's Oliver Doubles.
And then when I was doing recently, I did Adam the technician was. I did Celebrity Antiques Road Trip, and Adam the back there was just saying how much he hadn't enjoyed it, and and it is kind of idiotic. I don't know if any of you, it's me and Nigel Planer, Neil's new ones, that we you go around, you buy antiques from, you drive around in a kind of classic car, and then you buy antiques from dealers, and then you have auction them. I mean, it's like, and that's a competition you're supposed to win. I mean, it's a bit like buying like butter from Waitrose and then having it auctioned and expecting to make a profit. I mean, it's kind of really stupid. It's a kind of idiotic format. But
how much money did they give you to buy?
You get £400.
What did you buy?
I bought a toy car, and Adam was just saying he thought it was because he knew I was going to buy that, but the reason I did buy it was because it was 7 o'clock and I was fed up of filming. So I just said, fuck it, I'll have that. Okay. I bought an absinthe spoon, which I don't know what the hell that is, and I don't know, like a bowl and... But Nigel put all his money on this Hokusai print, Japanese woodblock print, and he lost like 300 quid on that. So I won. I won because I'd lost less money than Nigel. It is truly stupid. I mean, I quite enjoyed it, really. I thought maybe me and Nigel could get a kind of Paul Whitehouse and... what's the other
Bob
guy?
Mortimer.
Bob Mortimer kind of vibe going, but there's zero chemistry between us.
It is hard.
We are friends in real life, but that doesn't translate. It's just two old cunts, kind of, you know.
Instead of fishing, what would be the activity?
Well, that's it. I don't know. But we're not interested in anything. The two of us aren't interested.
They go in the doctor's.
Going to the doctors, says Linda.
That's true.
Nigel and Alexi going to the doctors would be the show. I'd fucking watch that. Yeah, educational and entertainment.
Yeah, yeah. I can't remember why I started talking about that. What was the question?
What old shit do you have from TV shows?
Oh, yeah, so anyway,
films?
That's right. Thank you, sir. When we did the auction bit in Bristol, the auctioneer said, if you've got any old scripts, we auction them and you can make an enormous profit on them. But I've given them all to fucking Professor Ollie Double at the University of Canterbury. So, fuck. Really?
We're selling two bikes, guys. Yeah. We're selling two bicycles after the show.
But I did. I mean, I may have some. We've got a lot of stuff in storage, so I may have some Young Ones scripts in storage, and I will be straight down that auction house in Bristol when, yeah. when we get them out of storage. Yeah.
Someone, Mark, asks in the chat, we've got 5 minutes left.
Okay.
Mark asks in the chat, would you ever do Celebrity Race Across the World or World's Most Dangerous Roads with me?
I don't know.
Or Nigel, whatever if you want.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's hard doing that stuff, isn't it? I mean, I don't know. I think
it's arduous.
The discomfort. We watched an episode of, World's Most Dangerous Roads, and it was genuinely, I can't remember who it was now, but it was Johnny Vegas and somebody else.
Whoa.
And genuinely interesting.
Is it just they're driving like up mountain paths?
They just drive up terrifying roads. I mean, they've never lost anybody, but but it looks truly frightening, really. So I think the reality. I mean, I sort of had a phase where I said yes to a bit of reality shit. So I did Celebrity.
How are you with like adrenaline? Are you at all an adrenaline junkie?
Well, when I wrote for the early 2010, 2011, I wrote for the Telegraph. I wrote for their motoring supplements. And it wasn't too bad at the time. And I would find myself doing something absolutely terrifying most weeks, you know, like that kind of Top Gear kind of thing, like Freddie Flintoff kind of. There's some footage, I don't know if it's still up, of me going up what they call the hill at Goodwood at the Festival of Speed in a Ferrari, which is just me hitting, you're heading straight for a Flint. I mean, the Ferrari test driver is driving, I'm not driving, but you're doing 100 miles an hour towards a Flint wall at one point. It's just me swearing for like 90 seconds as we go up there. And then I've done that where you drive, you know, you drive on two wheels like that. You drive up a ramp and it flicks on the side. So I have done that kind of adrenaline. I've been around the Autodrome at Bedford in an aerial atom. I've done the four-wheel drive, the Land Rover course, where you're up like you can't see the road, so you're up like that, and you got to put it in low range. You got to engage the low range diffs, and you just got to put it in first. And you just take your feet off the pedals and the brakes, and you let the engine braking slow you down. You have to go down. You have to go over this hill, accelerate over the hill, and then just go down with both feet off the pedals. Yeah. I've done that kind of thing.
And this Saturday, you'll be beating up a small child.
Or a small child will be beating up me. That'll be the true humiliating. It could go very wrong in so many different ways, yeah. I think I'm a bit too old to do that shit. Like, no, really. I think
I could do the driving.
Yeah. It would be. I don't know.
Any last questions? IEDs. One last question. Yes, please.
Would you participate in a celebrity space mission?
A celebrity space mission.
Would you participate in a celebrity space mission? Who went up recently? It was the all-female crew.
That was so shit, wasn't it?
Katy Perry fucking... and some news. She was a news anchor, isn't she?
The other lady? The fucking idiotic babble of those, you know, was just... it was sickening. I mean, you know, and the fact that I'm not the first. It does look like a giant penis as well. So, I mean, that blue horizon or whatever it's called. And, you know, it was.
Would you go up to space? Would you like to?
No.
No.
What the fuck no interest. To go to space?
Just to see Earth as like the small green dot that it is. Like,
I don't know.
To see all of the Earth in one eyeful.
We don't believe in space travel, do we, Linda, really?
What, are you a flat earther?
No. We have strong feelings about
it. Yeah, it's a tremendous waste of resources and money.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you think how many people could be fed with the billions it took to send those cunts up there?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Outrageous. Yeah. So the answer is
no.
No.
All right. One more. I did see another hand. Okay. We'll go at the back and then I'll come to you if we have time. Yes, please, at the back there.
What are your views on Sharon Osbourne slagging off Kneecap for their pro
wrestling? Oh, I was hoping this would come up. What are your views on Sharon Osbourne slagging off Kneecap at Coachella Festival recently? I've got a key ring for you. Come see me afterwards. At Coachella Festival recently, Kneecap projected onto their screens.
You'd be surprised. Well, first of all, you think, what the fuck has she done to her face?
Yeah.
I mean, she's got the face of a kind of... It's like this elderly woman with the sort of face of a kind of...
platypus kind of.
Kind of a... Like a puzzled... Like the small child who's going to be doing push hands with me. It's a kind of... It's like a confused small child in the middle of this kind of wrinkly old woman. So that's...
Yeah.
That's partly... I mean... Sharon Osbourne is a terrible person.
Yes.
I like Kneecap. I think. Oh, that's what I was thinking of doing. Now, what do you think of this? I was going to. I think, you know, because I like a particular. Because people dancing on TikTok is popular, isn't it?
Yeah.
So I was thinking, what I could do is, I could dance for a bit, like to something like the Kneecap thing, and then I could explain Marxism.
Yeah.
So I'd like dance a bit because I'm like a funny dancer, and then I'd say the theory of surplus value is that the capitalist exploits the worker and the worker is alien.
Yeah.
And then I'd dance for a bit more, and then
we could do that as an Instagram reel. That'll go viral as fuck.
Yeah.
We just have you dancing.
Finally, I'm going
to
do
it. To a trendy song.
Fuck this podcast. And that's going to be.
We have you narrating over it. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I've got to stop. So I'll dance like. Like that.
Oh, and then you'll stop dancing and talk.
Could you get like a tune up? Could you get something up quickly that I could dance to? Is that too difficult? Am I making it too difficult? Well, it just occurred.
You can do
anything.
It. He could do it.
They hit the. Yeah. So.
Pause.
What Marx said was that there were essentially two classes, the bourgeoisie and the proletariat.
Hit it!
I can't think of anything else about Marx.
Oh, that's been our show. Much love, everybody. Thank you so much for coming to the Let's Sell Podcast, episode 80. We'll see you out there. All right, leave a tip at the bar. Thank you to the Museum of Comedy staff and everyone.
Thank you. You've been listening to the Alexis L Podcast. This show is produced and edited by Talal Karkuti. Music by Tarboosh Records. Thanks to Audio Boom for hosting us. Please keep your emails coming in at alexislpodcast@gmail.com. Goodbye.